following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is Monday, October the 23rd. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. If you are new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us via the audio of Apple or by Spotify, or if you're watching a visual platform of this, maybe on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, whatever that platform may be, and you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. As always, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and we do want to welcome you to tonight's program. I wasn't going to be back on here and be back in the studio till Wednesday. My family and I went out of town. We went on a little mini vacation. We went to a place called Carabel Island, St. George Island in Florida. Very nice, peaceful, secluded getaway. Much needed to get some rest and kind of just rejuvenate, especially with everything that's been going on. So it's good to be back a little bit earlier. We was going to leave tomorrow. We actually cut it a little bit short. We did more than what we anticipated in a shorter amount of time. So we was able to finish that up and we was ready to get back home. So it's good to be back here in the studio. I've got a lot to talk about today. I want to kind of talk about some prophetic implications, and I want to home in on when you begin to see this one thing. Now we've got multiple things going on and we're going to talk about it today, but there's one thing in particular that if we start seeing this happening, and I believe it's already happening, I believe it already took place, and we're really going to home in on this. But when we start seeing this, there's major apocalyptic prophetic implications to this. So without further ado, let's get after it. All right, as always, guys, before we get started on tonight's broadcast, I want to encourage you to download our free app. If you've not done it yet, it is available on both Android and Apple devices. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. Do not rely on social media outlets. It's only a matter of time, especially if things continue to go in the direction that they are going and have been going. It's even going to accelerate even quicker. These major mainstream media outlets, these social media outlets, there's going to be even more heavy suppression, censorship, and shadow banning. So we want you to get our free app so you can keep up with our ministry. Again, download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. And as always, guys, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button. Hit that share button, hit that bell notification to subscribe here on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live, and all these platforms so that you can push our material out there on the algorithm and so that you can keep up with us. So as of the recording of this, again, this is Monday, October the 23rd. This war in the Middle East is continuing to escalate. Israel, as of yet, has not fully engaged in their ground assault. There is much speculation on why they have delayed this. Everything ranging from there's some speculation that the Biden administration has basically come in as a buffer and tried to convince Benjamin Netanyahu to hold off and to try not escalate this even further and not to, quote, act out of rage as what Biden accused America to do under the Bush administration during 9/11 or after the terrorist attacks took place on American soil on September 11, 2001. There is other speculation that there is a hostage negotiation situation taking place right now, the U.S. forces along with Israeli forces are working to negotiate with Hamas in order to release hostages. Now, we do know, according to the latest report, that there was two U.S. Americans that were released. It was a mother and daughter that were recently released as of this recent report that we got out of the Middle East, out of Israel. Now, we also know, according to the DailyMail.com, the leader of Hamas is reportedly holding talks with a top Iranian official amid growing fears that the Israeli-Gaza war could mushroom into a wider Middle East conflict. This as the Israeli Defense Forces strikes two Hezbollah cells in Lebanon and Syrian international airports. The report goes on to indicate that Hamas, again, the leader of Hamas, rather, and a top Iranian official held talks recently amid growing fears that this war could escalate into a wider Middle East conflict. Now, this also comes in heels of a report. This was from the U.S. Sun. I'm going to read this headline. Quote, six terrifying steps that would see Gaza crisis spiral into World War III with British and U.S. boots on the ground. This is from a ex-Navy chief. And there's a little graphic here for you guys that are watching the visual of this. It shows you this six-step process that would lead us to a full-blown third world war. Number one, Israel would overreact. And this is what Biden is basically trying to accuse them of or warning them from doing. It's unbelievable. But anyway, number two, war then would spread into Lebanon. And then number three, Syria would be involved. Russia would be involved. Syria and Russia both would be teamed up together. Then the fourth step would be Iran kicks off, or Iran gets engaged, a full-blown interference or engagement into this war. Number five, and again, as if they're not already, and as if not Syria and Russia and Lebanon's not already either. Then number five, the UK and US enter the fight. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Then number six, then last but not least, Saudi Arabia would be forced into the middle of this as well. Again, this is from a report from the U.S. Sun, where an ex-Navy chief warned that, quote, if things go really wrong, the United Kingdom and the U.S. could see boots on the ground in Israel and Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and Russia may be drawn into the fight. I want to show you, now this is a headline from FoxNews.com, where Secretary of State Blinken says that, quote, U.S. is ready to get involved in Israel-Hamas war if a line is crossed. He went further to say that, quote, we won't hesitate. The United States is posed to get involved in the Israeli-Hamas war should the conflict escalate into regional forces intentionally targeting American personnel, according to senior officials. What I find fascinating about this, guys, is everything that they talk about is a red line, and they're warning if this is crossed, or if this escalates to this, or if this happens, then this will happen. Everything they're talking about has already happened. Lebanon is involved. Iran is involved. Hezbollah is involved. And American personnel have already been targeted. In fact, we reported on this over the weekend. A U.S. Navy warship near Yemen intercepted multiple missiles that were fired at U.S. personnel. Let me just show you. This is from CNN. One of the officials said the missiles were fired by Iranian-backed militants who engaged in an ongoing conflict in Yemen. Approximately 2 to 3 missiles were intercepted, according to the second official.
The Pentagon now says a U.S. Navy destroyer shot down several missiles and drones that were launched from Yemen. What do we know about this intercept and the risk, potentially, of escalation in the Middle East?
Well, Wolf, when my colleague Oren Lieberman and I first reported this this afternoon, what we knew at the time was that a U.S. destroyer off of Yemen had intercepted multiple projectiles, missiles, target unknown. It had successfully destroyed those missiles. The question was, where were they headed? Were they targeting those U.S. ships or elsewhere? What we learned over the afternoon, as the Pentagon said, is that they believe those missiles were headed northwest towards Israel. Of course, the danger there was that the Houthi rebels, which the U.S. believes fired these missiles, they are backed by Iran. They follow orders from Iran. Was this an instance where another front is being opened up against Israel in this war there. As you know, there are U.S. assets around the region. You have two carrier groups in the Eastern Mediterranean. Of course, you have numerous ships in the Arabian Gulf and off the coast of Yemen, and they could use their capabilities, including anti-missile capabilities, to take out potential threats. And that's what appears to have happened here. Of course, the danger, Wolf, is escalation not only involving Israel, another front opened up on Israel by, in effect, a proxy group, the Houthis, controlled by Iran, but also you have U.S. forces in the line of fire in the Eastern Med, in the Arabian Gulf, and off the coast of Yemen. And it shows you, Wolf, the potential for escalation of this war. Does Iran choose to open up another front through its proxies, whether the Houthi rebels or Hezbollah north of Israel? And do U.S. forces pose a danger, in effect, of getting involved? That's the real concern here of U.S. officials, and it's why you've heard the U.S. president from the beginning say, if you're thinking about getting into this, Iran and others, don't think about it.
Then we have this report. I'm going to pull you over here to a different report. This is from the Associated Press, where it reported that drones, these are military drones, attacked a U.S. military base in southern Syria, causing minor injuries. This was according to U.S. officials.
U.S. officials announced a U.S. military base in Syria was attacked by drones. They say this follows other drone attacks over the past few days against the U.S. in Iraq. We're now also seeing alleged involvement from other countries. North Korea denies arming Hamas fighters with weapons, but reports show it was North Korean missiles that misfired, causing Tuesday's deadly hospital explosion. And the Department of Defense releasing new video of more than 180 intercepts of U.S. warplanes by Chinese aircraft over the past 2 years, with military officials calling this beyond concerning.
So I find this odd that Blinken is warning that if the line is crossed, where in which U.S. personnel are targeted. Well, guys, they've already been targeted. And I get it. Nobody wants World War III. I get it. I understand. This is probably why Israel has held off on fully enforcing a ground assault. This is why America is slow to pull the trigger on these things, because we know the ramifications of this. Every general, every personnel in war, every commander, the president of the United States, the prime minister, everyone knows what is at stake here. Even China has deployed 6 warships to the Middle East. And all of this is over fears that this crisis could spark World War III.
According to reports now, up to 6 Chinese warships are currently stationed in the Middle East. China's People Liberation Army, the CPLA, reported engagement in a joint military exercise with Omani Navy while visiting Oman. So the Navy Escort Task Force is now by Kuwait, which is right there near Iran, which I think is really, really, no, seriously, it's exciting. Obviously, you know, I'm not in the rooms advising anyone, but I did think, are they just preparing to go to the head of the snake? Now, I don't think so, but we do know that Iran now has one nuclear weapon and are just about to develop its second nuclear weapon. So is it possible that they are just going to target Iran, its clerics, or its nuclear facilities? Now, the nuclear facility is supposedly buried so long, so deep that you're not supposed to be able to knock it out with any kind of conventional weapon. The army seems ready to go. They've been ready for a few days. Aerial bombardments meant to prepare the ground, you know, are meeting with diminishing returns now at this point. And the widely accepted reason over in Israel is international pressure, plus the long train of visiting dignitaries and possible negotiations. the problem with the latter is that Hamas will probably go for the drip-drip approach, meaning to drag out more time, and the media will continue to turn on Israel. If they're going to target Iran, most likely they'll target the nuclear installations. We will continue to watch this. Let's see. There's a couple of other things.
That would majorly escalate this thing, however. I think they understand that. I think we understand that. And I'm sure the administration is strongly recommending they don't do that.
What are they going to do?
No, I think they should do it. But I don't know. They are the head of the snake.
Right.
And that's the only way to put a stop to this.
Yeah.
And so, but it does escalate things.
Oh, yeah. So I think pretty much anything they're doing.
It's a big decision.
I mean, when I saw that China was there already.
Yeah.
But to have them move their ships in shows, that's Iran and Russia. So there is an axis of evil, and those three are together. Yeah. And
with us.
Against us.
Yes.
Against us.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're all in the same general vicinity.
I mean, if this goes wrong, we are at World War III quickly.
But here again, we see where Israel is. There's all these threats coming from all sides. This is why they're talking about this thing could spiral out of control, and we could see ourselves at the precipice of World War III. But tonight, look, I wanted to give you a quick update on it. But now I want to shift gears, and I want to get into this. Is this weekend when we were away from the hustle and bustle, I was away from the city life. We got down into, and listen, if you've never been to Carrabelle or St. George Island, it is like a whole other world in itself. It's so quiet, so peaceful. So, I live about, 45 minutes outside of Atlanta Metroplex, and we're used to traffic. We're used to, city. We're used to this and that. So when we went out to, to the Carrabelle Island, Carrabelle, Florida, and St. George Island, it was like night and day difference. But you'd be surprised when you get alone and you get quiet and everything is just so peaceful. You can hear so much more clear. I've always said that the Lord is always speaking. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. The problem is we're so inundated with voices and so much clutter and so much noise that it drowns out the small, still voice of the Lord. So as I was there and watching, I was still keeping up with things, watching the news, looking at these protests. We'll get in more about that. We're going to talk about these protests here in on American soil. And over 100,000 people took to the streets of London. So in the West, we'll say that the protests in the West, where these people are chanting pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas rhetoric, anti-Semitic rhetoric, unbelievable. We're seeing the echoes. We're seeing the same rhetoric that we saw during the time of a certain dictator that ordered the extermination of over 6 million Jews. 1.5 million of them were children. And we're seeing this same thing happening again. The Antichrist spirit has always been in the earth, but it's almost as if for several decades it kind of went quiet, but now it's almost like there has been an unleashing of demonic forces that we have never seen in a generation, in 40 years, 60 years, 70 years. And this Antichrist spirit, I've been talking about this for 2 weeks now. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, you got to go listen to other podcasts that we've talked about. That this spirit has been resurrected in this hour, and it's spreading its tentacles across. We understand it being in the Middle East. We understand that. We understand that being in high populated Muslim nations, but we're talking about the West. It has surfaced again in the West. Trust me, hang in here with me because I'm going to show you a clip and we're going to get it deeper into that. But I want you to understand, I want you to really pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. The problem is the mainstream media is working overdrive. Let me go back and say that again. I got a little tongue-tied there. The mainstream media is working overtime and in overdrive to make what's happening in Israel political. They want to stir you up and politicize this. But I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to hear on mainstream media. Some other podcasters may touch on this, some may not. But behind the scenes at work is apocalyptic prophetic implications. I touched on this. I want to say it was last week. I touched on this a little bit, but I kind of want to kind of dovetail off of what I talked about last week. But I talked about just like in Christianity, Christians, born again Christians, believe in, or at least I would hope most do, but nowadays the tides have changed. And a lot of believers are not taught Bible prophecy. They're not taught on eschatology. So we could definitely see a shift in that, and it's already taken place. But I would say our audience that are listening and that are watching, just as we have apocalyptic, prophetic, end time perspectives and views of the Bible and what we expect to take place in the last days, the Muslims and the Muslim world also has this same view. Now, look, did you know that out of 66 books of the Bible, that there is 1,800 and 17 prophecies expand across 8,352 verses in the Bible. This comes out to be 27% of this entire Bible is prophecy. What, that's roughly about one out of every four verse is prophecy. So again, and this is what we as Christians, we understand this and we believe this. Now, having said that, we've talked about how there is two major groups in Islam. It's the Sunni and Shia. Both of the Sunnis and Shias believe that they believe in an apocalyptic Messiah called the Al-Mahdi. Listen to me carefully. They believe that the Mahdi will emerge from Iraq. Now, that's interesting. Iraq has a lot of history. Iraq is the same location where the Tower of Babel was constructed, Genesis chapter 11. This is also considered to be the alpha of every major false religion that's ever been birthed in the earth came out of this same area. The Bible in Genesis 11 calls it the plains of Shinar. Today, it's literally Baghdad, Iraq. This same area, this is where Saddam Hussein reigned from. This is the same area where the ancient Babylon was. Nebuchadnezzar was in this region. All of the, there's so much biblical history here. And even among Islam, they believe the Mahdi will emerge from this area. Now, just like as Christians, we understand Luke 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24, and we understand that these are the signs of the Messiah, the signs of the end of the age. What will be the signs of the end of the age and your coming? They also, in their beliefs, which is in their Quran and the Hadith. Now, we talked about the Quran is the written words of their prophet Muhammad. And the Hadith is the oral traditions that were passed down that were also alleged that came from their prophet Muhammad. So in other words, these imams and these clerics would say, according to the great prophet Muhammad, so and so, he said this and this and that, and this would occur and that would occur. So did you know that the main objective of Islam, now we're talking about apocalyptic Islam here, okay? We're not talking about, you know, we're not saying that every Muslim is radical. I'm not saying that, because there's moderates, but then there's radical. But according to the radical faction of Islam, they believe the main objective is to unite the Muslim world. Listen to me carefully. To defeat the West, which is America, Britain, and France, and then defeat Israel. Let me say that again. The main objective is to unite the Muslim world. Why do you think Hamas and the Ayatollah in Iran? Why do you think these clerics and these imams are getting up and they're calling for a global jihad against the West and against Israel? They call the West the Great Satan and Israel the Little Satan. Their objective is to create an army in the last days to enter Jerusalem specifically, take control over it. And once they enter Jerusalem, their goal is to build an Islamic caliphate. Why? Because again, they believe that the Mahdi is coming. And also, it's not a coincidence. This is where the two major Muslim mosques are. This is where you have the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Let me give you, I wrote a lot of notes on this over this weekend. Did you know, according to Islamic tradition, that Syria must enter a major war? This is in their traditions. Syria will enter a major war, and they actually teach that Syria will be defeated and that Syria and Iraq will eventually have to submit to the Mahdi that will come. Now, what's interesting about that is, according to, now I'm going to shift gears and go back to the Bible. Did you know, again, Isaiah 17 says that Damascus in the future will be a ruinous heap. I find it interesting to me anyway, and I hope you'll find this interesting, that Isaiah the prophet foretold the day that Damascus, the capital of Syria, would become a ruinous heap. It would be no more. And then according to the Hadith and the traditions of Islam, that Syria must be, or will be later on, it will be defeated, and that Syria and Iraq will eventually submit to the coming Mahdi. All of these nations, these two nations, will merge as one. And this is all part of their plan. Now, there was an article. This was a piece from Michael Snyder. He posted this on the 18th of October. So this has been a few days ago. In this article, he points out that Iran recently raised the black flag over this mosque in Iran. Now, I'm going to talk about these black flags in just a moment. I want to show you, this is from a Twitter account, Sprinter, who posted this. A black flag flies over the Imam Reza Mosque in Iran. I hope I pronounce it right. For the first time in history. If anyone knows what this means, please write. Now, when you search, when you start going down and you read the comments, there is some that say it's represents a month of mourning for martyrdom and so on and so forth. But there was one particular comment right here that I want to really home in on, because this again is apocalyptic. They understand what's going on here. Look, I want to read this. These are all quotes from the Hadith. Look, all right, here we go. And guys, I'm not even going to pronounce these names. So if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, you can go research it yourself. You'll find the names of these guys. I'm not going to read these names, but I want to read what they said. One wrote, quote, "When the black flags come from the Khorasan, go to them, even if you have to crawl on snow, for among them is the Khalifa from Allah, the Mahdi." Let me read that again. "When you see the black flags come from Khorasan," and by the way, Khorasan is located in the area of Afghanistan, and it's at the edge of Pakistan, which today also includes northeast Iran. Okay, so in case you didn't know that, that's where that's at. All right, I'm going to go back up here. When you see the black flag, somebody say black flags, because this is important. When you see the black flags come from the Khorasan, go to them, even if you have to crawl on snow. For among them, among the black flags, is the Khalifa from Allah, the Mahdi. Here's another quote. Quote, surely black flags will appear from the Khorasan until the people under the leadership of this flag will tie their horses with the olive trees between Beit-e-Lahaya and Harasta names. These are places in Jerusalem. Here's another one. Quote, a nation will come from the east with black flags, and they will ask for some goodness or authority, but the people will not give them. Then they will fight and win over those people. Now the people will give them what they ask for, but they will not accept it until they will hand it over to a person from the progeny who will fill this earth with justice, just as it was previously filled with oppression and tyranny. So if any one of you finds this nation from the east with black flags, then you must join them, even if you have to crawl over ice. Here's another quote. Quote, three will fight one another for your treasure, each one of them the son of a caliph, but none of them will gain it. Then the black banners will come from the east, and they will kill you in an unprecedented manner. When you see them, the black flags, then pledge your allegiance to them, even if you have to crawl over the snow, for that is the caliph from Allah Mahdi. Let me give you another quote. This is from the Grand Sheikh. This is a Turkish Grand Sheikh. Quote, as believers of the traditions, we believe in a Savior who will come first before Jesus Christ. We have in our traditions his name, which is Muhammad Dul al-Mahdi. He is coming, but his arrival will be after a great war. Remember I told you they believe there will be a war between the East and the West. It will be the fight of the big powers with each other. And in that war, the Savior will come. We're not talking about Jesus Christ here, the Messiah. The Savior will come like a divine hand from the heavens to the earth and stop the war. Who is this Messiah? Who is this Savior? Their Mahdi. Quote, the great war will break out between East and West, and this will be a very difficult days for mankind. There will be very strong fighting. There will be very many people who will be killed, and then the Lord will command al-Mahdi. He is now in a cave. He is in a big, deep cave. No one can approach it. Jinns are protecting. Now, when they use the word jinns, they're talking about spirits. Spirits are protecting and guarding him, the Mahdi. Guys, did you know? When you understand all this, guys, you'll understand why they do things that they do. Remember Osama bin Laden? Do you know where he was always hiding out in? He was in caves. Why? Because he understood the Quran. He understood the Hadith. He was trying to make himself become the Mahdi. Many believed he was the Mahdi, but he was killed. So he couldn't have been the Mahdi. Then you have a man by the name of Muqtada al-Sadr. This guy has an entire 60,000, where he did, I don't know if he does anymore, but he at one time he had 60,000 men under him, and he called it the Mahdi Army. Let me give you another quote. Quote, the black flags will come from the east, led by mighty men with long hair and beards. Their surnames are taken from the names of their hometowns. Here's another quote. Quote, once again, if we turn to the Hadith, we read where Thauban reported that the messenger of Allah, bless him and peace be upon him, said, quote, when you see the black banners coming from Khorasan, there go to them, even if it means crawling over the snow. The deputy of Allah, the Mahdi, will be among them. And he goes on to say, quote, if also reported that Muhammad said that black banners will come from the east and their hearts will be as firm as iron. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, guys, what we're seeing. They're trying to politicize this. They're trying to make this political. But this is absolutely apocalyptic. This is spiritual principalities, demonic forces at hand. Everything is escalating. We're seeing it, this thing is kicked into overdrive right now. Now I want to shift gears here. We've talked about this for a while, for about 40 minutes or so. Now for the next 20 minutes, I want to talk about how, I've talked about this. I talked about how that the Bible indicates that there is coming the Antichrist who will rise to power. He will have the spirit of Antichrist upon him. He will be influenced by Satan himself, who will have no other agenda but to wipe out the Jewish race. He will do what another former dictator did, and it will be on steroids. It will be nothing in comparison to what happened under this former dictator. Now, if you ask yourself, listen, you got to ask yourself, here's a question you got to ask yourself. How in the world did we as a society and as a world allow 6 million Jews, 1.5 million children that were Jews, 6 million total, to be annihilated, to go through things that I can't name on this program? How do we allow this? How do we not speak up? Well, friends, it's happening again. In case you're not paying attention, it's already starting again. Listen, Satan empowered a bloodthirsty dictator that caused 6 million Jews to be slaughtered. That same spirit is rising in the earth again. It's here. It's manifesting across the United States. It's manifesting across the West. It's manifesting in college campuses. It's manifesting in the streets. The rhetoric that's coming, the threats that are coming. Are you paying attention? It's happening before our eyes. And guys, I'm going to tell you, if this thing don't fizzle out, and it doesn't look like it's going to, if this thing doesn't fizzle out, if this is not Satan prematurely trying to fulfill Bible prophecy, because that, guys, that's all it was. Many people, when 6 million Jews were being slaughtered, they thought that he was the Antichrist. They thought this was everything the Bible foretold, but we now know that that was not it. We know that Nero was not the Antichrist. We know that Stalin was not the Antichrist. Mao was not the Antichrist. We know these guys were not the Antichrist, but they had the Antichrist spirit on them that had the same agenda that we're seeing coming from the streets of America and the West, and even right across our college campuses. Let's pull up this clip.
These are the exact times I have been warning America about for almost, 15 years, 20 years now. It is why I spent so much time on Israel and the Jewish state and Martin Luther King for so many years, because this is part of what always happens in a world that goes mad with socialism and Marxism. It always, always comes with massive anti-Semitism. And we're seeing it now in our universities. We're seeing it everywhere. And it's apparently not that disturbing for a lot of people. I think everyone should be talking about this at lunch and dinner, at the water cooler, wherever you're hanging out and talking about things. There is nothing, I think, more important than this. Because once anti-Semitism is this, it's this gateway to hell. It is a gateway to hell. And I just ask, if you are not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I just want you to imagine what it must feel like having your children at a university today, or you at a university, or just being Jewish. We've seen this movie before.
Right.
It's not like, oh, well, they don't really mean it. Oh, yeah, no, they do. And when they're chanting this at the University of Pennsylvania, there's only one solution. That's not even veiled. They're talking about the final solution, which was so horrific, they never said the extermination of all the Jews. They gave it a code name, the final solution. They didn't even want people to know about it, but apparently everybody on the left here in America and around the world are all for just letting it rip.
And we need, that's a very good, powerful statement he just made right there. We need to be paying attention to that. We need to be paying attention to that, because if our officials are silent on this stuff happening, this is exactly what led to history. And it's going to, again, history repeats itself. And I'm going to tell you, this ain't going to repeat itself again, as far as what we saw and then pull out of it again. This will be the final. This is it. All the technologies here for the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, everything is in place. This will be the final thing. Guys, we are wrapping this thing up. It's sad. It's disturbing. But it is absolutely mind-boggling how we could repeat this again. But it's happening.
That should terrify non-Jews.
Yes.
Let alone anyone of Jewish descent. Julia Wax is a law student at Georgetown University. God love her. She's also Georgetown Law Zionist Coast president. And Brooke Goldstein joins us. She is the Lawfare Project founder and executive director and author of End Jewish Hatred. Julia, Brooke, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having us.
You bet. Julia, let me start with you. What are you experiencing and others experiencing on campus?
I'd like to say that this is not just happening at Georgetown. It's happening on campuses
everywhere.
Across the United States.
And the world. And,
yeah, the world. And what we're experiencing is our student groups and students individually who are posting on social media things that basically are anti-Semitic rhetoric, things that are denying the events that happened this past week in Israel, denying the beheading of 40 babies.
Wait, stop. But how's this possible? Where is the... Where's the social media police? Remember, we were told that they were not going to allow this stuff to happen on social media platforms. Where is Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg's Jewish. Why isn't he stopping this? How can be, you know how many people we have banned from Instagram that has spewed things that I will not even repeat here against the Jewish race? Super anti-Semitic, just demonic. But yet it's on there. I thought they were investing millions of dollars for this censorship team. I thought they were incorporating artificial intelligence into their systems to be able to snuff this stuff out, to stop the hate rhetoric and the violent content and all this stuff. Isn't that interesting that nothing's being done to stop this? That should be another huge wake up call to you.
Saying that the Nova incident and the music festival didn't occur, trying to say that AI is how all of this is being generated.
Did you hear that? This is on social media, TikTok, Instagram, all over the place, saying that the atrocities that took place in Israel, that it never happened. It was fabricated. It was a false flag. It was all propagated by artificial intelligence, and it was propagated by the Zionist and by Israel and all these just derogatory terms. And again, these are the same people that deny the Holocaust. And it's being said here in America. This is just unbelievable to me, guys. Unbelievable.
Posting, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine should be free. They are promoting events and rallies, one of which I went to try and understand. I went undercover, and they started chanting, "We don't want no Jew state." And they started chanting, "Zionism will fall," and globalize the Intifada.
Wow.
And I don't even
global. Do you hear that? No Jewish state. They will fall. Globalize the Intifada. What did I tell you? Again, I'm telling you, there, you got to get past the political aspect of this and realize this is apocalyptic, guys. This is in times that your preacher probably won't tell you about and talk about. And we're not, you know, I'm not trying to bash any preachers or pastors. A lot of them are just unlearned. They don't know about this. They're not taught about this stuff, but it's happening.
I think these people understand that the language that they're shouting is anti-Semitic. It's so deeply embedded at this point. That it's time for us to take a stand and speak out.
My staff prayed for you, Julia, and people like you today that are on campuses all over the world. That you have strength and I don't even know what else it would take, but that the Lord would be with you, Brooke. What is your involvement in this? I know you've written a book on ending Jew hatred, but the Lawfare Project, what is that?
So first of all, Glenn, I want to thank you so much for your moral clarity, because this is a time when we need leadership and we need people like you speaking the truth. It is absolutely very scary. And what we're doing at the Lawfare Project is we provide pro bono legal support to Jewish students on campus who are facing a hostile environment that targets them because they are Jewish. And I want to make absolutely clear, and you said it in your intro, this is not about a Palestinian state. This has nothing to do with politics. This has everything to do with Islamist, Nazi-like Jew hatred.
Yes.
And the people that Julia was talking about before, they are akin to Holocaust deniers. They are the new Hamas Holocaust deniers. And it's always those who deny the truth, and denying the truth of this recent genocide, because that's what it was, a genocide, that want to commit the same acts of atrocities again. And that's exactly what Julia is saying they are chanting on campus. And Jewish students around the country are feeling unsafe. So it is incumbent on the administration, the Biden administration, who has been giving wonderful speeches standing with Israel, to stand with the Jewish population within the United States. That is absolutely paramount. And to do everything they can to root out these terror-supporting, terror-affiliated groups like SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, and groups like Wall Palestine. They must get off our campuses, because you said it yourself, Glenn, this is a national security threat for the United States.
So, guys, I mean, this is so deep, and because I know, because I've been watching it. I've been watching it and looking for it since 2005, 2003, and watching it grow. And it is in everything now. It is Black Lives Matter.
Now, what he's referencing there is the rise of ISIS, the Islamic State. And by the way, if you remember, among them, what did you see in their videos? They always had those black flags. It was on their trucks. They were holding them. It was everywhere. Black flags everywhere. Now you understand why. Why are they holding these black flags? Why are you seeing them? What's this Mahdi army? What is all this stuff? So again, we're giving you a little insight into that.
When people stood up, I kept saying, you can't stand with these people. You might think that there's a problem with the police. You might think there's a problem. Well, good. Let's talk about that and solve it. But these people are trying to destroy Israel. They're trying to destroy the traditional family. I mean, how are you going to stop?
And it's not a coincidence that Black Lives Matter came out in support and was sympathetic towards Hamas. They even, remember, they pulled it down, but they even put out a tweet, and it was absolutely derogatory and so insensitive. It had a paraglider, and they were talking about their support for Hamas. So, gee, it's not a shock. You better wake up, research, and realize what the affiliations are with these groups.
This in our universities, it came from the universities.
Well, I think it's really important for your audience to understand the influence of foreign funding. People in the counterterrorism community have been warning about the billions and billions of dollars coming from states like Qatar, which is the second largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, that are funding our institutions.
Go ahead.
Pardon, Julia?
I believe Georgetown has a campus in Qatar as well.
Who does? Yes.
Tell us about that, Julia.
I don't know too much, but Georgetown does have a campus in Qatar. How is it that our administrators are taking hundreds of millions of dollars per campus? They're not registering as foreign agents. They're not disclosing the memos of understanding. What are the terms of these agreements? I guarantee you this money we know is going to diversity, equity, inclusion.
It's going to critical race theory.
It's going to fund students groups, and it's going to radicalize Americans to turn not just against Israel, but against America.
Julia, what does it, I don't know if you can even answer this. What does it feel like to be a Jew today?
It requires a lot of perseverance. I'm definitely one of the loudest voices on my campus when it comes to this subject. And I'm trying to stay strong for a group of people because I do have students that are unable to focus and are forced to sit in a classroom with students who promote these rallies. I have students texting me that they are scared to come to class. Students who are...
This is in America. Let that soak in. In America.
Moving their Star of David necklaces. Students who have removed their Israeli flags from their lockers. It's a hostile environment. You walk down the street and you don't know who's for you and who's against you. And I think it's important to note that this used to be a very fringe group of people on the university campuses. This used to be a very fringe, far left group. And now it's the majority. And now, quite honestly, on campuses across the United States, it feels like the majority is against us. And yesterday we hosted a survivor from the Nova Music Festival on our campus. In 24 hours, I was able to get her to come and speak. And before, I think I questioned how could the Holocaust even have occurred? How could something so horrific to my people even have occurred? And after last night and listening to this woman speak, this woman who is similar in age to me, who looks like me, who's from a similar background to me, and hearing her give her story about running away from the terrorists, having friends who died as she sprinted forward. Now I know. And that's, it's a staunch and haunting realization as a Jewish person to have, to be sitting in that room with 40 other Jewish students, listening to this woman who looks like us, who is one of us, speak about being persecuted. And anybody who denies that Hamas is not a terrorist organization is part of the problem and is someone who is spewing anti-Semitic rhetoric and making this a much more globalized issue.
And Julia, weren't you saying also that the survivor was then further taunted when she's come and tell her story on campus?
Now you think about that. So here's a woman that survived this horrific act of terrorism and violence where many of her friends were killed. They didn't make it. I can't even imagine the PTSD that's already involved with this. She survives this only to come back to America where she believes she can be safe, where she has support, where she would never see this. And she comes back to this universe. She comes here to America, stands up and talks about this only to be taunted by the same spirit speaking out against her and taunt her. This is heartbreaking, guys. Heartbreaking.
She's she did speak on the fact that even in America, she does not feel safe as a Jewish woman, that she had friends who asked to have their locks changed, that, you know, she still does not feel safe even being here in America due to what she's seeing occur, specifically on campuses. You know, campuses are the think tanks of America. This is where all of our legal ideas, this is where our new educational ideas stem from. And it astounds me that we're looking at the most prestigious universities in the world, Harvard, Georgetown, Columbia, Stanford, Yale, all of these massive organizations, and they have people at their organizations, and it's not just one, two, or three, it's hundreds of students that are shouting this rhetoric and making it unsafe for us.
Will you please keep my phone number with you if there is anything I can ever do or my organizations can do for you? Please reach out. I want you to know, a long time ago, before I brought my family to Israel, I brought them to Auschwitz. And I told them that you can't understand Israel unless you understand Auschwitz. And I asked each of them to read a book of One of the Righteous Among the Nations, because I wanted my family to decide who we would be long before any of this stuff would happen again. I want you to know I am not alone and you are not alone. There are millions of us that stand with you. We know the past. We know what the future can be if we remain silent again. And you will always, always have a place at my table. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
God bless you, Julianne.
Glenn, I want to say one thing. It's just so important before we end. You said there are millions out there. We need you to be vocal now. What can you do to help the Jewish community? You can call up the administration at Georgetown right now today. Flood them. Flood their email inbox. Make sure that you're calling them every single minute, demanding they create a campus that is safe for the Jewish students, demanding they kick off the student groups off campus that are taunting Jewish students and making it unsafe to exist there.
So I want to leave you with that question today. Where do you stand? Where are you going to stand in history? We don't know how much longer we've got. Listen, if the Lord should tarry, how much longer do you think that humanity can sustain itself in the conditions that we're in right now, geopolitically speaking, morally speaking, economically speaking, spiritually speaking? Guys, time is running out. And if we see a repeat of what we saw in the 1930s, 1940s, where do you stand? Are you going to stand? Are you going to be on the right side of history? Are you going to be on the wrong side of history? That's what I want. I want you. This is a very sobering thought today, because I believe if this thing continues to escalate like it is, we're going to be forced to take sides. We're going to be forced to take a stand, and we're going to be forced to make decisions that may divide homes, and it may come to that. But listen, Solomon said, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. Listen, I know it's a very sobering message today. It's a very thought-provoking message today. But again, I want to remind you, Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, to keep looking up, keep lifting up your heads, because your redemption is surely drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our website. Again, don't forget to download a free app available on Apple and Android devices today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be set and be ready to go. Listen, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, it informs you, it equips you on a week-to-week basis, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app and through the main website. Those are the easiest ways to do that, or you can give by check or by money order, and you can make it out to right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast today. We're going to be signing off for tonight, but we'll be back. We plan on being back here tomorrow, Tuesday, October 24th. Same time, same place, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great program. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.